Okay. Hello. Is that good? Okay. All the women say it's good, so. Okay. True. Okay. All right. Let's just open in prayer, and then we can get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this new day. We thank you that we are reminded that your grace and your faithfulness is new every morning. And Lord, when we look at the world and we feel the weight of its struggle and sin, and then when we even look inward and we recognize in so many ways how we fall short, Lord, we're just thankful for the comfort of your word and the comfort of your spirit. And Lord, as we open your word this morning, we just pray that you would be present in this place, that your words would ring true, Lord. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So I just wanted to start by first saying thank you for having me. And many of you know that John and I spend our summers at Bible Live, that we've been commended to the work at Bible Live at camp. And when John and I started down that road trying to decide if the Lord had that in store for us, many questions, you know, rang through our minds, and we questioned ourselves as to, you know, what the Lord was leading us to. But I have to say that one of the questions that was in my mind was, do I have what it takes? And when the elders talked to us about coming, one of the things that they had suggested was that we talk about practical Christianity. What does Christianity look like? And I think it's the same question that runs through my head with practical Christianity. Do I have what it takes? If you were looking out at people and you were in a new situation with new people, and you didn't really know them very well, and I'm going to ask for some feedback here. If you were looking and you were looking for like-minded people, people that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you didn't know their background, you didn't really speak much to them, what are some things that would tell you or give you a clue that they were a believer? Can anybody think of something? Yes? Their speed. Now, what do you mean by that? Okay. Yeah, Monica. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Anyone else? Priorities? Okay. What about the younger girls? Have any thoughts? Modesty. Okay. I definitely think demeanor does play a role. I know when I went to college, I was just talking to our son. He was in his first year at college. And I asked him, like, well, have you run across any believers? And he said, no, he didn't think that he had. And I said, you know, it was interesting when I was in college that there was this one girl, and I just watched her in class, and I didn't even have that much interaction with her, but the way she held herself, the way she spoke, her demeanor, made me think, you know, maybe she was a believer. And so I approached her, and it turned out that she was, and we became fast friends, and it was great to have another believer in college. So definitely, the way we live our lives in the world will send a message as to what we believe. So I have another question for you. What do you need to live out this faith of yours? What do you need? What helps you live out your faith? Good. Yeah. Anything else?
I feel like often we, and I mean, I don't feel this, like I was thinking about this morning, I'm often guilty of
Right. Now, Holy Spirit, definitely, and we're really going to focus on that today. The other thing I would say is His Word. And we're going to look at that today as well. So I would definitely say what you need to live out your faith, the Holy Spirit, and you need His Word. So we're going to turn to Ephesians. And we're going to look at how Paul encourages us in these things. So we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 1. And I did just have a birthday. I am now 47. I do have a son that's married and a daughter that's engaged. And I'm still, I think, reeling from how life is changing. And now I need to wear reading glasses. So... I'm so thankful for sisters in the Lord that have walked this journey, and I'm not alone. So Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So, what are the marks of the Christian life in these passages? Definitely faith in Christ. It begins with faith in Christ. What else do you see in here that are marks of the Christian life? Anyone have an answer?
Believing.
In verse 15, it talks about faith in the Lord Jesus, and at the end, what is also evidence of your faith? Love. Love for all the saints. It goes on to talk about power from the Spirit and a spirit of wisdom that's given, that we can be given enlightenment through His Spirit to know the hope of what we've been called by and for, the riches of his inheritance in the saints. So how do we receive all these things? Where does this come from to live out your faith? Very simple Sunday school answer. Christ, right? Through his Spirit. So we're going to continue on in Ephesians 4, if you go over there. And right near the end of the chapter, it's going to start with the sealing of the Holy Spirit. So if you look at Ephesians 4 and verse 30, we're going to read a good portion here. So 4 verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man, who is an adulterer, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and make melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. Okay. So here, when we get into chapter 4, I think we see in verse 30 the power of the Spirit, but it gives a warning that we're not to grieve the Spirit. And it teaches us that these things that come after are marks of the Christian life. This is what a Christian's behavior should be like. But how are we to do these things? If I was given a checklist, and I wrote these things, and I could check them off every day, how successful do you think I would be? I think when I think of that, I know that in many times, in many ways, I fail. If it's the list of things that I need to succeed in, I struggle with that. Instead, I think we're given the answer at the beginning of chapter 5. And the answer to how we accomplish these things is therefore be imitators of God. And I think there's a key phrase in here that says that we're supposed to be imitators like beloved children. And there's no better imitator than a child. And I don't know if you've experienced that in your life or seen it in another child, but they are great at mimicking and imitating. And when our oldest was little, his favorite thing was a lawnmower. And we had these wonderful neighbors next door. They were this beautiful older couple. And it was very interesting that each had a lawnmower of their own, the husband and the wife. And they would go around their backyard and they would do this pattern in the back of their yard and, you know, and then in the front. And it was just interesting to watch, but they got the job done very quickly. But as soon as they were out there, Will was like jumping, trying to get out the door, grabbing his lawnmower, and he was like mimicking them in the backyard, doing the same thing that they were. He was copying them. Another time I found our other son, Caleb, and he had just been given one of those play laptop computers. And there he was sitting behind the chair, mimicking his father, right, on the laptop. And he was doing the same thing, pretending that he could do office work. I think the most embarrassing one is for the nursing mom. Who here has had a daughter who's decided that it was time to nurse her doll? And in public, decides to rip up her shirt. And you're like, oh, that's a little hard. They are great at imitating, great at mimicking. And that's what the Lord has asked us to do. How are we to imitate God? We're supposed to imitate God in our walk. So, you'll see in the rest of this portion that we read, We have different ways that we're supposed to mimic him in our walk. The first one is to walk in love. The second one is to walk in light. And the third one is to walk circumspectly, or to walk in wisdom. So walking in love, you'll see in verses 1 through 7. Walking in light, you'll see in verses 8 through 14. And walking circumspectly, you'll see in verses 15 through 21. So we're imitating God in our walk in these ways. And why is that? Well, because God is love. So Monica, would you mind reading 1 John chapter 4, verse 8? Thank you. All right. Could someone read for me 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And the last one, if somebody could read 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, and we'll see that God is truth. Wisdom. First John chapter 5, verse 6.
This is he who came through the font by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth.
God is truth. We find wisdom in him. So, as we're imitating the Lord, we turn back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. And then it gives the reason why. Why should we walk in love? Why does it say that we should walk in love? Right. Christ loved us. And he demonstrated that love by dying for us, right? By giving himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma. His love is represented in a sacrifice at Calvary. And it says it was a sweet-smelling aroma. Who here loves the smells of this time of year? Thanksgiving, Christmas? Yeah, me too. And isn't it interesting to think that God the Father appreciates a sweet-smelling aroma, a sacrifice? And that's what the Lord's death was, a sweet-smelling aroma, a sacrifice that is accepted. It's interesting that the Old Testament sacrifices that were sweet-smelling aromas were the burnt offering, which speaks of Christ's complete devotion to the Father, because the whole thing was consumed. The meal offering that talks about Christ's perfect character, and the peace offering that tells us how Christ made peace between God and man. So how can our lives be a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord? How do we walk in love? If we are going to imitate Christ, well, think of the burnt offering, complete devotion to God. Think of the meal offering, showing the character of Christ in our actions, and seeking to live peacefully like the peace offering. That's how we can be an imitator of God, by walking in love. And we had seen by Ephesians 1, that was one of the characteristics that Paul saw, that they had a love for the saints. And I think that's a good question that we are to ask ourselves as we think about our walk with the Lord. If someone was watching me from the outskirts, would they say that I walked in love? Would they say that I had a love for the saints? Would that be something that they characterized my life by? And I do want to say that we need to still go back to the fact that this is the power of the Spirit. This is the power of the Lord Jesus. I could try really hard to say, you know, I'm going to do everything right and walk in love, and, you know, and something happens and I fail. The fact is that it's Spirit powered. And the only way to have that Spirit power is to be walking close to that love. I need to be near that love, because it's not just me trying to get enough power within me to love, to think enough good thoughts to love, but it has to be from me mimicking my Father, spending time with the Lord. As we get into the next one, which is walking in light, a good example is thinking of the sun and the moon. You know, the moon has no light of its own. There's no power in the moon. The moon just reflects the light of the sun. It's in the position to reflect that light. Are we in the position to reflect His love, His light, His wisdom? That's only by our proximity to the Lord. So let's look at the next one, walking in light. So as we walk in light, there are three things that are not to be named among the believers. And what are they? In verse 3. Right. The Christian should no longer be characterized by their sin. This is what you were. Instead, they should be characterized by their battle against sin. That doesn't mean that we have no sin anymore, that we don't struggle. But is there a battle going on? Are you battling to be in that light and to reflect that light? Or are you consumed by the darkness? The neat thing about light is that it will reveal the darkness. A long time ago, we had a college student living with us, and the poor girl had gone downstairs to do laundry, and I had put in a comforter into the dryer, a feather comforter. So you can only imagine what had happened. But I didn't have great lighting in my laundry room, and she opened the door, and feathers went, like, everywhere. I cleaned up what I thought was all of it, and months later, John and his dad installed some better lighting in my laundry room. And guess how many feathers I found after that? Many. The power of light is an amazing thing. And when we have light in our lives, light in His Word, light through His Spirit, it's shining into us. And when we walk in this world, it says, you were once darkness. It doesn't even say you were once in darkness. It says, you were once darkness, but now you are light. So now, as you walk, you are light. And light doesn't need to go around. You know, when I had that new light, it didn't shout at me, oh, look, over there, there's a feather. You know, I didn't hear it talking to me. The light exposed on its own. And our lives, as we mimic the Lord, it exposes sin. Not by what we say or how we judge others, but just by us living our lives in devotion to the Lord, that is light. As we live light and be light, we shine light. You are the light in the Lord. The light is not in ourselves or even in our works apart from the Lord, right? You could do all the good things in the world, and I've met some people who do amazing things, but they don't have the light of the Lord. So this light that we're able to shine is because of who He is and what He is doing. And I think that's a good reminder to us, just like the moon and the sun. I can try to generate my own light. I'm not going to get very far. It's only in reflecting the Lord's light as we walk in the light. So since we are light, we're to walk in the light. So Galatians 5, verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. So what does walking in the light look like according to Ephesians 5? It talks about not having fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Not just things that are necessarily sinful and bad, but things that are unfruitful. We should be exposing darkness with our light and not participating in the works of darkness. It talks about how it's shameful even to talk about these things that are done in secret. And like I said before, the exposure of darkness happens naturally with the presence of light. Just the light being there exposes the darkness and brings light. And in the end, do I really want people to see my work, or do I want them to see the Lord? And I think when we start checking off the boxes in our life about our good works, and we become condemning and judgmental to others, we're focusing on our works and not looking at the Lord. And I felt encouraged through this that in the end, I don't want somebody saying, oh, she was good at this or she did this. I want them to say, she loved the Lord. We knew she was devoted to the Lord. A year and a half ago, I met a man who was an executive director at a camp down south. And the next year, I met him again. He was a sweet man. And I think I took to him because his grandson called him Granddad, and that's what I called my grandfather, Granddad. And the next time I saw him, he had told us that between the two times that his wife had passed away, and they had been married a very long time, over, I think, 75 years. And he had said to us that they decided that they were going to put things on her tombstone, and I want to read what was said. So on her tombstone it read, Ruth Gaines Newland Wagner, March 7th, 1932 to June 14th, 2017. And this is what it said. And this is what her family decided to put, mostly her grandchildren decided to put on her tombstone. A woman that feared the Lord, she served the Lord with gladness. If your life was brought down to two lines, what would it say? What would they put on your stone about you? Would they say, she walked in love, she walked in light, she walked circumspectly because she was devoted to her Lord? What would be said? And that's something that I'm reminded of. What would be said as I reflect the Lord? So, the next one, walk in wisdom. Walk circumspectly, carefully. And it comes from two Latin words that simply mean looking around. Are you aware as you walk? Are you being careful? See that you walk carefully with exactness. I think in this world, and I definitely feel this way as I get older and my children get older, time flies, right? It just rushes by. And sometimes in that, we're not careful because life is busy. And whether you are in high school and feel overwhelmed, or you're a young mom and you're surrounded by kids, or you're further on and you've just seen time pass, sometimes we forget to walk wisely or circumspectly. That we're supposed to walk not as fools, but as wise. And I love the verse it talks about that we're supposed to redeem the time because the days are evil. We live in dark and evil days. We know that. We can look around and see that. And it's easy for us to adapt to what we're seeing, what we're watching on TV, what we're hearing on the radio, the people that we're surrounded by. You can very much adapt to our surroundings. But we're called to think like Christ. And to think like Christ through the Spirit. If you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And starting in verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then if you could turn to Philippians chapter 2. And this is familiar, but to many of you. Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Just that verse. Again, we are encouraged to mimic, to imitate, to have the same attitude as the Lord Jesus. And we're encouraged to use the power of the Spirit. And we're encouraged to be in the Word of God, because this is the mind of God. So through the Spirit and His Word, we are encouraged to walk with wisdom. If you turn back to Ephesians 5 and verse 18, at the end of the verse, let's make a comparison. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And it's an interesting comparison, right? So someone who is taken over with wine loses all control of themselves, right? They talk, they walk funny. They do things that they're not in complete control of. And the Lord says that's one extreme, right? The other extreme is to be filled with the Spirit, that He is controlling, that He is, you know, changing your thoughts, that He is changing your behavior, that He is changing your perception. And that is huge. Many times I come to the Word of God, and I might, you know, even in sadness or frustration or hurt, and it's not my wisdom that pulls me out of that. It's the Lord through His Spirit. He changes my perspective. He changes the way I look at things. He gives me compassion for other people, strength to carry on. That's where it comes from. The wisdom comes not from getting it within myself and making myself feel better. It comes from where I stand with the Lord and His impact on my life. We are to be filled with the Spirit, which means sometimes, if we're told to be filled with the Spirit, means sometimes I'm not filled with the Spirit. I might have a Spirit, but I might not be filled with the Spirit. And that's a challenge, right? To surrender. What does it mean to surrender? To give up my will, my way, and surrender to the Lord and His work and His Spirit. So in Ephesians 5, at near the end of the passage we read, it talks about what does it look like when somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it look like to be a Spirit-filled believer? And if you look at verse 19, it says that we are speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that we're singing and making melody with our hearts to the Lord. And that's internal, right? That's not even something necessarily someone can see or hear. That is within us. It is always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And it also is being subject to one another in the fear of Christ, that we're submitting to each other, that we are creating unity among us. There is a quote that I had read from a man called Jason Johnson, and he's an advocate for fostering and adoption. And he was just talking about, you know, having the strength to live a Spirit-filled life, having the strength to live our Christian faith. And he said, the good news is that God doesn't invite us into this expecting that we will always have what it takes. But he does bring us into this promising that when I feel like I don't, he still does. And that's our hope and assurance that what is completely out of our capacity and our control is absolutely in his. And I really appreciated that. Lastly, I just want to close with a verse from 2 Corinthians. So if you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 5. And it's something that Paul is encouraging the believers, and I think this is good for us as well. So verse 5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? And what does that mean? It means to me that when I examine myself, when I look at my life, and I am troubled by what I see, the answer isn't more checklists. That's not going to work. The answer is Jesus Christ in you. When you look at your life and you're struggling with how do I have the energy to get through the day to live this life, when you're struggling by the behavior you see in other believers who claim the name of Christ, the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ in you. That's what it is. It's not fixing your behavior. And honestly, in parenting, that was so real to me. I could fix my children's behavior. I could make them sit in a pew and be quiet and appear to have the appearance of godliness. But inside, that's a different story. And we need to be careful that we don't do the same thing to ourselves, that we are focused on the appearance of godliness, but our hearts are not right. So I encourage you as I encourage myself, you know, test yourself. If you feel like you're lacking, Jesus Christ is the answer. Whether you realize that you haven't really made him Lord of your life, that you possibly have never made that decision and you need to choose him, you need to submit and surrender to him, or if you find yourself drifting in life and life is taking you on a current, a fast current, and the fact is that you need to come home. Come home. This is home. This is where you're going to find your comfort, your rest, your encouragement. And then you'll be able to go out. You'll be able to go out and you'll be able to walk in love. You'll be able to walk in light. And you'll be able to walk with wisdom. And that is what the Lord wants for us, right? We are His hands and feet. The world looks, and what do they see of God? Us, right? How do we portray Him? So I'll encourage you, go out and be the moon. When you see the moon next time, think about yourself. Think about how you are reflecting God. That the power is from the sun. You know, S-U-N and S-O-N. The power is from the sun. So I hope that's an encouragement to you as you struggle to live your Christian faith out in the world today. And that it brings you hope that this is the place to start with the Lord and His Word. And if you want to have His joy and His power, then you need to surrender to His Spirit and find your strength in His Word. Come and eat. Right? None of us would think of going too long without eating, especially me. So, come and eat. All right, let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time in Your Word. We're thankful for the reminder that just like our salvation is not of our own doing, I couldn't get myself there and I can't keep myself there. Lord, it is Your power, Your strength. Father, we just pray that we would continually surrender ourselves to You, Lord, that You would just be that strength, that power within us, Father, and that You would remind us of Your love for us. And Lord, that the powers of darkness, that they wouldn't be so overwhelming to us that we would feel separated from You, Lord, but we would know what it is to cling to the light, to cling to Your love, Lord. And we thank You for this reminder in Your Word, and we thank You for Your Son, Father, and it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, when Olivia and being a good person, he actually can't put away our anger, which is bad.